Welcome, everybody, and thank you for joining us four women tonight. I have here with me Anne. Hello, Anne.
Hi.
And it's nice to have you back this week.
Thank you.
And we have in Vermont both Karen and Megan. Welcome, ladies.
Good evening, everybody.
Hello, everyone.
And you have me in Maryland. So tonight, I think what the plan will be is just to do the Word of Knowledge, because last week we saw that doing the Word of Wisdom took a period of time. So we'll just do one subject tonight, and tonight's the Word of Knowledge in the Walking in the Spirit seminar. Did you guys have anything to share before we step into this?
No, I don't at this point.
Okie doke. Well, try to get that mute button off when needed. And we're going to start the first scripture. We're going to read a couple scriptures here, Matthew 1, 19 and 20. And Karen, if you just read 18 through 20, I'd appreciate it.
Okay. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost.
Okay. Now this is a word of knowledge. And so we see here the place that a man named Joseph found himself in, where he's engaged or espoused to a woman, and all of a sudden he finds out she's pregnant. And it's really if you look at it, it's pretty amazing because it's a man, and this would be a hard thing. And he was just, he was equitable, he wasn't seeking to make a spectacle in putting her away. She was going to do it privately. But while he thought on these things, so he, you know, was considering, then that word of knowledge came unto him from the Lord. And
when he talks about putting her away privily, that meant stoning her.
Oh, does it?
Yeah, that meant killing her. She would have been an adulteress or a fornicator or something. She would have been stoned. And which is normally done in public, he wanted to do it privately.
Well, thank you, Anne. But, go ahead.
Why don't we also read the definition of what the word of knowledge is?
Yes, I was going to do that after these ones, just kind of following this. It is, would you like to read it?
Sure. This is supernatural revelation of divine knowledge or insight in the divine mind, will, or plan, and also the plans for others that man could not know of himself. So there was no way Joseph could have known that what Mary had conceived had been of the Holy Ghost unless he had received this divine knowledge, because it had never happened before.
Yeah. Well, and he needed the word of the Lord to come to him personally, you know what I mean, and tell him. And praise God, he received it and obeyed it. And we see that obedience to the word of God in him, because we saw him leave Israel. We saw him go back to Israel, you know. So there is an example of that supernatural revelation of divine knowledge or insight in the divine mind, will, or plan that he could not know of himself. So the next example is Acts 13, 9-10. And Megan, when I get there, if you give me a minute, I'll have you read that. I'm there.
Read. Then Saul, who also is called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him and said, O full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord?
Yep. So this was actually, if you go up and read, it's Saul and Barnabas, I think it was. But anyway, Paul was ministering to a man and a sorcerer, or a false prophet was coming against, everything that Paul was saying and seeking to turn, it's a deputy, Sergius Paulus, from hearing the word of God. And it says there in verse 8 that he withstood him, and then Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes upon him and said those words. And this was a word of knowledge. O full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And the thing about it is, for instance, when it says there, wilt thou not cease to pervert, this was something this sorcerer or this false prophet was doing not knowingly, perverting the right ways of the Lord. And Paul nailed him with the truth there. And that truth was that which was given unto him. Because somebody else could have been doing it in a different spirit than this man was. You know what I'm saying? Paul stood. Talk about a rebuke. It could not be sidestepped. Do you guys want to say something on that?
No.
The other thing in that verse, thou enemy of all righteousness. I mean, this was a guy that was antichrist for sure. But the grace of God was there because the only thing that happened was that he was blind for a season. So it gave him an opportunity of repentance, it would seem. The next one is kind of similar, but also slightly different, and it's in Acts, and it's 21 through 23. And this again is a sorcerer who had gained money through his sorceries.
Is that Acts 8?
Oh, what did I say? 20?
You said Acts 21 to 23.
Oh, it's Acts 8. Thank you.
Okay.
Stay on task here, right?
it's Simon the sorcerer.
Yeah.
Should I start at 21? Or should I go back a little bit?
I would start, why don't you start at 17?
Okay. Then laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. And when Simon saw that through laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. But Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee, for I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity.
Okay. So, you know, the guy didn't get it, because if you go back up, he too had received the word of God, but he was a man who was a magician. He was a sorcerer, and he just didn't get that that's not what these guys were yet. And the power they walked in was greater than the power that he walked in, but, you know, and you see here where Peter comes hard against him. I mean, thy money perish with thee. It's not just his money perishing, it's him too. Because he just said he thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. But then he goes on to say that Simon had neither part nor lot in this matter because his heart was not right in the sight of God. That's why he didn't. And I mean, Peter's speaking words that he could not know outside of the Holy Ghost giving it to him. For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. And what Peter is saying to him is that he's, you know, I mean, what is moving Simon is being kind of enveloped, engrossed, and all about envy and pride. And here you see that perception of Peter to point it out and bring it to his attention. This isn't something just by hearing him speak Peter would have known. This is something that was revealed to him by the Lord. He got it right on, you know. And you saw the benefit because Simon asked for his prayers when he heard this. So we're just reading examples of that which a man could not know of his own. This was not spoken in presumption. You know, this is Acts chapter 8. The one with the other guy was Acts chapter 13. Not the same, kind of similar, dealing with sorcerers, but he wasn't and the answers were from two different apostles, but the answers were from the Lord, and they were the spokesman to these men for God. I don't know if you guys want to comment there. So the next couple ones are kind of interesting to me because they are in Genesis. We go back to the Old Testament. And the very first one is Genesis 1, verses 1 and 2. Megan?
Yes, ma'am. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters.
I was thinking about this today because it's interesting to me. We all confess that the Word of God is, in fact, that there were men that wrote it, but it is His Word. They were secretaries. But when you go back to Genesis, the writer of Genesis or the secretary of Genesis was Moses. He went in there. There was nobody there except for God.
Yeah.
How could he have known the book of Genesis outside of the word and knowledge of God? It is impossible. He wasn't there. Nobody was. Now, as you go through Genesis, people were there. But this is the direct revelation of God to Moses, as is the whole word. But Genesis, in the beginning, there wasn't anybody there, so it couldn't be firsthand, except for by God.
Yep.
The other one is just a chapter away, chapter 2, verses 19 and 20.
And out of the ground the Lord formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle, and to the fowl of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found an helpmeet for him.
Okay, so here, you know, I mean, do you ever stop and think about that the names of everything was from Adam?
You know, when I read that this morning, I must say I looked at that and thought, okay, so how is this a word of knowledge? And Steve said to me, well, what if I brought animals to a child? How would they name them? And the fact that they're all named and in an orderly fashion and by groupings that are fairly obvious and make sense, that is the part that was the word of knowledge.
Got you. Yep. What Adam did was.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah, that was really cool. Because I had wondered about that too.
The next one is 1 Samuel 3, 7 through 15.
Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And the Lord called Samuel again a third time. And he arose and went to Eli and said, Here am I, for thou didst call me. And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, Go lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, Speak, for thy servant heareth. And the Lord said to Samuel, Behold, I will do a thing in Israel, at which both the ears of every one that heareth it shall tingle. In that day I will perform against Eli all things which I have spoken concerning his house. When I begin, I will also make an end. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile, and he restrained them not. And therefore I have sworn unto the house of Eli, that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be purged with sacrifice nor offering forever. And Samuel lay until the morning, and opened the doors of the house of the Lord, and Samuel feared to shew Eli the vision.
Well, it's obviously a word of knowledge to a young child. He's telling Samuel something that he's going to do in Israel, and he had already told Eli these things, but now it's established right here. He says, when I begin, I will also make an end. And, you know, it's kind of interesting because you can see that Eli was spoken to about it and yet did nothing about it for the iniquity which he knoweth. And Samuel didn't know this about Eli. But it was also a word of the Lord that came forth that we have for our own self, and Israel had for their selves. This judgment and this word. And
in this particular instance, it's also something that the Lord had already told Eli. And so when Samuel tells him the next day, it isn't news to Eli because he already knows this.
You know, the thing that is kind of, it's not on the word of knowledge, but when you go down and read verse 18 and it says, it is the Lord, let him do what seemeth him good. What kind of a man is this that is his, that did there where there was no repentance of this? You know, if there had been repentance, we might not have chapter 3 of 1 Samuel, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you see something similar with Ahab, but Ahab repented somewhat in that, and we know that because he was spared, but the judgment that the Lord brought came forth on his children rather than on him. So he didn't see it in his own lifetime, but Eli, as we know, died as part of that curse too.
Yeah, it exactly what the Lord gave Samuel is exactly what happened.
Yeah.
And it happened because Eli let it happen.
He could have repented, but he didn't.
And restrained them, and he didn't.
And especially with the two witnesses that he had and the confirmation from Samuel should have prompted him to do something.
It's kind of scary in the sense that, you know, it makes me think of that scripture about fearing the Lord, because how often do we hear things and not repent, you know what I'm saying? And yet the grace and mercy of God remains here for us. And that long suffering, praise God, but we don't want to take these things lightly. And we take them lightly when we don't fear the Lord.
You know, something turning the focus off Eli and onto Samuel here. When the Lord gives you something, for example, a word of knowledge, you need to be a faithful servant to give that over to the person faithfully. And you see, Samuel did that. He told him every whit and hid nothing from him. He told him everything the Lord had said and didn't hide anything from him. And that was a good and right thing to do.
Yep. Amen.
How many times has you felt the Lord showing you something to tell a person? Give you a word of knowledge. And we don't do it because we don't want them to be mad at us, or we don't want to hurt their feelings. What's going to happen when the Lord gives us the word of knowledge is going to happen. Unless that person has an opportunity. And if we don't tell them, then they don't have an opportunity. So it's not about us. It's about what God does and what God says. And we can't let our own pride keep us from doing what the Lord wants us to do.
Amen.
You know, Ann, I don't know if you'll remember this, but my neighbors in Maryland years and years ago, and Keith was still alive because I went to you and Keith because I felt that the Lord had called me to go and tell this man that he had a heart of a Pharisee. Mm-hmm. And do you remember this?
No, keep going. I probably will.
But, you know, I did. I told that man that the Lord told me to tell him that. And I can tell you I was shaken.
No.
I can also tell you they hated me with a cruel hatred after that. I mean, I even had a neighbor come to me one time and tell me that they were trying to make that neighbor hate me. And I was hardly worthy of that kind of hatred in just, you know, the normal sense. I was just a measly neighbor next door. But
the thing is, if you hadn't told him, he wouldn't have had an opportunity to turn it around.
And, you know, I think he's still alive. I mean, I don't know his end.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I've had that happen to me over the years where I've gone and told someone something I felt the Lord was telling me to tell them. And they never talked to me again.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, that's going to happen. And we need to be prepared for that and not let it matter. It doesn't matter what they think of us. If we're obeying the Lord, we will be blessed. And if they hear that word and turn around, repent, then they will be blessed. But they have a free will, and they can decide whether they're going to listen or not. And, you know, it's up to them. And that's where the bottom line is.
Well, and I know it's a little off subject, but, you know, like Megan, you were talking about Sammy. You don't see Samuel falter or shrink. And I know for myself, looking back at that time, you know, it's not like I ever backed up from that or ever departed from that or anything, but I also know that I didn't stand as I ought to. In the spirit, if you know what I'm saying. I know I felt pretty beaten down by their attacks against me. And so, you know, as we know, these gifts of the spirit are given to profit others. And that's really what you were talking to about, Anne, is how will a person know lest they're told. And it's not always easy, but it's important. And we can stand not only because of who and what we are in Christ, but we stand because we know that truth, that which we bring to a person. We don't bring to them in high-mindedness or something like that. We bring it to them because we know that it's important. And it's an act of love to do so. And, you know, other people learn if we will stand and not back down and not allow another to, you know, I think of what we read last week in 1 Corinthians 5, where Paul is rebuking the Corinthians. They had that guy who was sleeping with his father's wife. And, you know, he wouldn't back down. He got on their case, and the case was to the benefit of absolutely everybody. The guy who they had to deal with, but everybody else. And Paul was bold in that, and stood in it and gave no place to anything else. And so it is, if we're going to stand in Christ, we have to learn to do likewise.
I was just thinking of an example that Davey, I think he shared it with everybody. I know he told me about it. When we had the Eagle Radio Network up in Vermont, a man called in. He had, about 20 years before, he was sitting in a bar, and Davey walked in and went directly to him and said, "The Lord has this to say to you," and told him to get it right. And I don't remember what he was doing that the Lord had given Davey the knowledge of. But Davey said, "To stop, you know, you have to get this right. You can't do this anymore. You need to get your life right with the Lord or this stuff is going to happen." And the guy just told Davey he was full of crap. And Davey left. 20 years later, we get a call from this man. And he described where Davey had met him and what Davey had said. And he said, "Everything you said came to pass. Everything you said happened." And because of that, that man had gotten his life right with the Lord. But Davey could have only done that with the word of knowledge.
When that happened, I think he was tuning his telly. He was trying to see something on the TV, and he somehow picked up on the radio signal. And yeah, so he heard Davey's voice, and he recognized it, and that was what prompted him to phone in.
Yeah, he was trying to tune in something on the satellite. It wasn't our program, and ours came up, and that's how it happened. So the Lord was definitely in that. And it was quite a blessing to Davey to hear this. But it was a blessing that the man finally listened to what Davey had said to him and got it right. So it was totally the Lord that he finally found Davey on the satellite. I mean, there's a lot of satellite channels, so it was definitely a miracle.
Yeah, yeah. There's no chance in that, right?
Uh-oh. So that word of knowledge, Davey could have only have gotten that information from the Lord. And he went and told the man, not caring what that man was going to think. And that's where we have to be. We can't care. It can't matter to us what they're going to think of us if we give them the word of the Lord.
Go ahead, Megan.
Well, there are a couple of other examples that Davey has talked of that life, similar to that one, but a little bit different. The word of knowledge doesn't only talk about things to come. It can also be related to things that have happened. And the two examples that I remember, the one was the woman whose back was she had a back injury of some sort. And she kept coming up for prayer, and Davey was there one time, and he wouldn't join in prayer or something. And he asked as she walked away how her back was, and it was still sore. And he said to her, you know, he basically told her how it happened and when it happened, and she confirmed that that was right. And that was, you know, one of the things about the word of knowledge, especially about something that's happened already, is it gives the opportunity for someone to be free of something. And another example was the lady with the who was put on this, like a particular physical thing that she thought showed the Holy Spirit was with her. And Davey, again, he said to her, you know, you were wearing this dress, and that happened in a service somewhere. You know, he gave particulars that there was no way he would have ever known. He wasn't there. But the Lord gave it to him, and the lady was able to be freed from something that had kept her in a bondage.
Well, Ann, you remember that guy Dave at a revival in Northfield when you all lived in Vermont, who had lost his hearing in Vietnam? I think that was his name, Dave.
Okay, I'm not sure.
But he looked like Chuck Norris. I think that might help you. You remember that guy?
Vaguely.
But the Lord gave Davy a word of knowledge as to how he lost his hearing, and he restored that man. I mean, I think his eardrums were destroyed, and his ears were, the inner ear there, the drums were completely made whole. You know, there was a physical recreation, so to speak, of his ears, and he heard. And, you know, just part of that was there was two witnesses there. Gosh, you have the healing, but you also had the testimony from God through his apostle as to how that even happened in the first place, that he might believe. And he didn't stay very much longer after that, but I know you'll remember tonight if you haven't remembered before the end of this evening.
It's something we've touched on over and over again, is that the word of knowledge can be something that has happened and something that will happen. It's past and future.
Yeah.
It can cover all of that.
So, 2 Kings 6:8-12.
Then the king of Syria warred against Israel and took counsel with his servants, saying, in such and such a place shall be my camp. And the man of God sent unto the king of Israel, saying, beware that thou pass not such a place, for thither the Syrians are come down. And the king of Israel sent to the place which the man of God told him and warned him of, and saved himself there not once nor twice. Therefore the heart of the king of Syria was sore troubled for this thing, and he called his servants and said unto them, will ye not shew me which of us is for the king of Israel? And one of his servants said, none, my lord, O king, but Elisha, the prophet that is in Israel, telleth the king of Israel the words that thou speakest in thy bedchamber.
That's pretty fun, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
I like that one. So, you know, the end of that was that the Syrians no longer went after Israel in that time. But, yeah, there's a very distinct word of knowledge. God, that which that king spoke in private, God told Elisha. And then he went and directed the king of Israel with that knowledge. And in fact, if you go down, the Syrians came. It is Syria, right? The Syrians came and were captured, and the king of Israel asked if he should kill him, and he said, nay, you know, give him bread and water and send him away. But they didn't come against Israel again at that time. So praise God, you know, the mercy and love of God. So Acts 9:11-12.
And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the street, which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth, and hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in, and putting his hand on him, that he might receive his sight.
And of course, this was Paul the Apostle, after having met Jesus on the road to Damascus. And the Lord came unto Ananias and told him where Paul was, or Saul, what he was, and what he had already shown Saul, and what he was to do. And he did it.
He did double check that this was the Lord.
He double checked that this was what the Lord wanted.
Yes.
Because he answered the Lord. It was a fair question, right?
Yeah.
But you're right, he did double check.
I can understand that. Lord, he's killed Christians. You know, he's killing us believers. And you want me to go to him?
Yeah.
Are you sure you want me to do this, Lord?
Yeah, I understand that.
I can see that.
Yeah, it wasn't rebellion. It was just an honest, you know. Yeah. At least I don't believe it was.
Because he went, so there was rebellion there. It was just, he just needed to understand if this was really the Lord talking to him.
Yeah. It was.
And well, the other thing is, it's not only, obviously the story isn't only for Ananias, the story is also, the conversation was there for Paul, because Paul needed, I don't know that he needed, but it was a second witness to Paul that what he had seen and heard and who it was that had met him, what had happened in his conversion was indeed the Lord.
Well, and Anne, you can agree or disagree, but I would say that Paul needed it, not because he needed it, but because Paul was going to stand, and as it says further on when the Lord answered Ananias' question, how much he was going to suffer for him, I mean, Paul had to stand very, sometimes almost by himself, and God gave him exactly what he needed to do it, and this is part of that which he gave him.
That's right, yeah. He had to have that.
Yeah.
But something that strikes me in this, it's not to do with the word of knowledge or anything, but Ananias, since he laid hands on Paul to receive the Holy Ghost, shows that Ananias was an apostle.
I think Ananias wasn't, though. And this was that operation of God that God makes his choice. And I think, and here's another thing that, it's funny, I had been thinking about this. I throw it out. It may be that Davey or Steve will give us the answer, but Paul was under nobody except for the Lord Jesus Christ. Had an apostle laid hands on him, then there would have, you see what I'm saying? But God had Ananias, who I don't believe was an apostle, come. And through him, Paul received that baptism. But it's something to check out. But I do not believe Ananias was. I don't think he was. But if the wives of Davy and Steve would ask them, that would be great.
Sure.
Yeah, I'll do that.
And we'll make sure that way we'll all know for sure.
Amen.
Yes. It's, and well, it says in verse 10 that they called him a disciple at Damascus named Ananias, but they call him a disciple in there on verse 10.
Yeah. We're just going to make sure. That's the best way to do it.
Yes, right? Yes.
Yeah.
I agree.
And we'll have to then remember to give that answer next week. The next one is Matthew 16:16. And Megan, are you reading?
Nope, Karen.
Oh, Karen. This is in a conversation. You can just start at 13 and read down through 16, Karen.
Okay. When Jesus came into the coasts of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets." He saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God."
Yeah. And if you actually went down into 17, Jesus said that flesh and blood hadn't revealed it to him, but my Father which is in heaven. That was a word of knowledge.
That's the word of knowledge right there.
Yeah. It's also interesting to note that Peter didn't understand all the implications of that he was the Christ, you know, the Son of the living God. But he came to know. And I say it because we don't always know all the implications of that which we know, but we'll come to know it if we don't give up.
That's one of the verses that Steve mentioned to me as well as being a a word of knowledge was when Jesus said, "When thou art converted," that was a word of knowledge. It's in Luke 22, verse 32. He's talking to Peter, and he said, "But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." Jesus knew he would be converted. That was a word of knowledge.
Yeah.
And he told him what to do when that happened.
Where did you say that was, Megan?
Luke 22:32.
Yeah. The next one is John, chapter 1, verses 1 through 3.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made.
Yeah.
This goes back to the Genesis 1 sort of thing too.
Yeah. But it also identifies Jesus very clearly.
Yes.
From the beginning. Anne, did you have anything you wanted to say on that one, or Karen?
No, I think it's pretty clear.
Yeah. It's a good scripture that I didn't want to. The next one is Acts 5, 3 through 4, 3 and 4.
Okay. But Peter said, "Ananias, why hath Satan filled thy heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Whiles it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God."
And this, of course, is Ananias and Sapphira, who seen, who was it? Joseph, having sold land and brought all the money. He went out and sold land and, you know, I mean, it was his money to do as he wanted. He could have given an offering or tithe or whatever. But instead he came saying that it was the money for all the land when in fact it wasn't. And there's no way Peter would have known outside the Holy Spirit giving it to him.
Robin?
Oh, I read what Paul, Scott or the bishop said. Is that what you're going to say?
Yes.
Thank you. Davy said that Ananias was not an apostle. The Lord used him because no one else would go near Paul. So for no other reason than it would sound that it was because no one else would go near him but Ananias would. And that he was just a believer, Ananias. And I guess there is no thing in a sense as just a believer, right?
Amen.
Amen to that, yes.
Especially when your name is Ananias and you go and do what the Lord said.
Right. That is a believer, right? The next one is Acts 21:11. I don't know which one of you is supposed to read. Megan?
I thought it was Karen, but I can read.
I just read Ananias and Sapphira.
I'm sorry.
That's all right.
Here we go. Acts 21, verse 11 says, "And when he was come unto us, he took Paul's girdle and bound his own hands and feet and said, Thus saith the Holy Ghost, So shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owneth this girdle, and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles.
Okay. And that was a prophet named Agabus who, when Paul came down, the Spirit gave him that word of knowledge. And he went, and he was one of the three testimonies to Paul as to what would happen, independent testimonies as to what would happen when he went down to Jerusalem. And it is what happened. The last one, and it's Ephesians chapter 3.
For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you ward, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs, and of the same body, and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister, according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. To the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen.
And I, Megan, you may have spoken to Steve about this, but here's where you see Paul give testimony to that which the Lord gave him, which is what he then went forth and ministered. You know, that dispensation of the grace of God, where by revelation the Lord made known unto him the mystery of God, and that he then went forth and shared, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto the holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. Here he's giving testimony through this verse as having been one to whom the Lord gave this knowledge to profit all. To make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. This is what God gave to Paul, and then Paul gave to those who would hear. I don't know if you guys had anything further on that. It is an example of the supernatural revelation of divine knowledge or insight in the divine mind, will, or plan.
Something that we've seen in several of the stories is how when he gives the word of knowledge, he doesn't just give the knowledge, he also gives an instruction or a command or a, you know, something to do, or that will happen. So, you know, here, you know, so that you may be able to comprehend what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ. So there's, you know, I guess that's
well,
it.
Yeah, and your point where he says, wherefore I desire that you faint not at my tribulations. So, you know, like, I think that's an example of what you're saying there. This, of course, we know is a prayer that we can pray and bow our knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant, and you could say me, that you would grant me, this, because this is what Paul ministered to those who would hear, the word of God that would strengthen with might by his spirit in the inner man, and on, but that word was received directly from God to Paul and through Paul, and we're still the recipients of Paul's faithful delivery of that.
Amen.
Amen. It's a powerful prayer.
Well, next week we're going to look at faith, which will be interesting, right, Megan?
Yes, it will. The gift of faith, as
yeah,
opposed to the measure.
Yes. Yes. So praise God. And Anne, did you have anything else to say?
No, not tonight.
Well, thank you, ladies, and thank you, everybody, for joining with us tonight. So hope to see you next week.
Good night, everyone.
Good night,
all.